This is Healthcare Strategies.
This podcast was recorded remotely due to the coronavirus pandemic. As a result, the quality may be a little lower than our usual standards. We appreciate your patience as we practice social distancing. From all of us at Xtelligent Healthcare Media, stay healthy, stay safe, and enjoy the latest episode of Healthcare Strategies.
Hello and welcome to Healthcare Strategies. I'm Emily Sokol, Senior Researcher and Editor at Xtelligent Healthcare Media. Today we are speaking with Dr. Shantanu Agarwal, President and CEO of the National Quality Forum, NQF. Dr. Agarwal is a board-certified emergency medicine physician who has worked in both academic and community settings. He is formerly the Deputy Administrator of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services and Director of one of its largest centers, the Center for Program Integrity. Today, we will be talking with Dr. Agarwal about NQF's work on addressing social determinants of health, including their call to action to reduce disparities and achieve health equity by developing standard data and interventions to build the evidence base to address social determinants of health. Welcome, Dr. Agarwal.
Thank you for having me, Emily, and please call me Shantanu. But thanks for the introduction, and I'm really happy to be here.
Thanks. So I was wondering if, to begin, you wouldn't mind giving our listeners a brief overview about NQF's work, particularly as it relates to social determinants of health.
Sure. So I think what's important to keep in mind is that healthcare has known for a long time that social determinants matter, that they affect clinical outcomes, they clearly affect people's lives, and they fit into the broader picture of healthcare disparities that we see in the U.S. We've known this going back, 20 plus years to the seminal Institute of Medicine reports that came out in the late 90s that highlighted addressing disparities as a major need and goal for healthcare. I don't think enough progress has been made, or rather probably no one thinks enough progress has been made over the last 20 years. We engaged in this exercise last year, really trying to set a path forward for the next 10 years of quality. And one of the major themes of that work, which came out in a report earlier this year called The Care We Need, was continuing to focus on social determinants and addressing health disparities. So I know it is top of mind for healthcare policy leadership writ large. At NQF, we've been working in this area for well over a decade and have executed a number of projects in this area. So first, as a quality measurement organization, we've done a host of work really to make sure that quality measures are up to the task of helping to address social determinants and disparities, both through the identification of new measures as well as methodological changes like social risk adjustment. Second, we have looked specifically at payment issues. So for example, last year we convened a major payment summit collaborating with the Aetna Foundation, which really brought together a host of different stakeholders to identify what works in payment interventions so that everyone is incentivized to deal with social determinants and disparities. And we know that that's a major leverage point. And third, one of the roles that I believe we can play as an organization that we have played in a number of different quality areas and can continue to play in this area is making sure that evidence-based practices, that data is being brought forward so that it is clear what does work in addressing social determinants and disparities, and there can be wider adoption of those things. I often say to my team, I don't want the best evidence and the best data to be a mystery to anyone in healthcare, which is, I think, often an impediment to quality improvement. And so there are things that we can put forward like, playbooks and guides that really help drive interventions more locally. And that's work that we've done, for example, in food insecurity and a host of other areas that we're focusing on.
Fantastic. So there's a lot to unpack there, but I want to focus first on something that you had said about the evidence base. And I think evidence base in healthcare is particularly important. And, there's a plethora of data out there right now that talks about the impact of social determinants of health on patient outcomes. So I don't think we're at the point now where anyone is questioning if these factors are important, but it's how do we address them? So I'm wondering if you can sort of talk about that next challenge.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. So look, I think healthcare as an enterprise is always focused on data generation, evidence generation to make sure as much as possible things are evidence-based. And I'm not suggesting that we not continue to do that with social determinants and disparities. But to your point, there are clearly areas where we know the evidence is robust and it really does affect outcomes. So food insecurity is, I think, clearly one of those areas. There's been lots of demonstrations around the country at state levels, at local levels, that demonstrate that when you set up food pharmacies, when you make better, more nutritious, fresh food available to people, their nutritional status improves, their diabetes improves, and they suffer less the consequences and organ damage from disease processes like diabetes. So that evidence exists. I think where the evidence exists, we have to get out of this mindset of more data is better. We need to start implementing widely and broadly. And I think the evidence is there, not just on improved, you know, life outcomes and clinical outcomes for patients. Obviously, those are really important things, but also actual ROI production for organizations. You know, organizations rightly want to know that if they invest in an area, that investment is going to be sustainable. Again, I think food and housing and transportation are areas where it's really clear that that works. A host of leading organizations are implementing interventions in those three topical areas. And, you know, I think that should be done nationally at this point. I'm not sure that we need a whole lot more data to demonstrate that it works. And then there are other areas where more data is needed, and we need to get to very specific, you know, population and regional level approaches. And that will probably require putting together some data sources that right now don't talk to each other, getting a more granular view of the needs of populations. I think that's central to addressing disparities, and then continuing to generate the evidence behind it. So it's, you know, that work will continue to need to happen, but there's clearly some areas where, you know, there should be national alignment because those areas work.
Absolutely. Even from some of the work that we've done on our end at Xtelligent around social determinants of health, there seems to be sort of the struggle in the industry of this balance between having standardized measurements and practices and evidence, but then also realizing the balance that each community is different and there are strategies that are going to work but might need to be modified to fit the needs of communities. I'm wondering if you have any recommendations for maybe finding that balance while still maintaining truth to the evidence base.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The balance is critical. And so we highlighted this a lot in the care we need. So I think there need to be national policies and national standards that we can align around so that we know that, you know, all populations will benefit from this work. What I don't want is so much regional variation and so much heterogeneity and so much fragmentation, which frankly, those are endemic issues of healthcare, that we sort of apply the same fragmentation to social determinants, right? So there needs to be enough of a national dialogue and enough of a national infrastructure so that we're all kind of marching together. I think quality measures can be a central element of that. So we need to have great measures of food insecurity. We need to have great measures of disparities generally. We need to understand what disparity sensitive measurement looks like. And that needs to be a lens that's applied to all measures so that, for example, there can be stratification of, you know, even traditional quality measures by socioeconomic factors so that all of us can be seeing, you know, what's working for certain populations and not working for others. That kind of national infrastructure, I think, helps to bring transparency to the problem, to what the issues may be, and hopefully aligns around them, right? So as an example today, maternal morbidity and mortality is an area where there's clearly disparities that have now been demonstrated over the last few years. We need a better measurement approach. We need better payment policy and data so that we can understand the problem and align behind it. But then the balance that you spoke to, which I think is exactly right, is that these issues really exist on local and regional levels. There are solutions that are going to be more germane to certain populations. Right. We do work, for example, in the rural health space. Those environments look really different from a basic transportation standpoint, from an access to care standpoint. And so I think the solutions need to be crafted for rural environments. Again, that's an area of work that we're engaged in. But, you know, for me, this is about organizations really adopting their communities, trying to get very granular in understanding what the needs of those communities are. And then leveraging that national infrastructure and those nationally emerging best practices to apply them locally, changing them, of course, where they have to make them more just germane to local needs. But, you know, that's where I see the kind of back and forth between how to address this locally and still have a national infrastructure you can rely on.
Right. So I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the Care We Need report. So I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit more. You've hinted at it.
But if you can talk a little bit more about that, and then also talk about who those key stakeholders are, and in this call to action, you know, who you're really targeting.
Yeah, so I'll start there. The stakeholders are really everyone, right? So when we did the work to generate the report, we brought together patients and patient advocacy groups with payers, providers, technical experts, you know, measurement experts, et cetera. And it was very clear from the work that addressing social determinants and addressing disparities is a central priority and should be a central priority of the entire healthcare ecosystem. So, you know, a basic message of the report is there is no organization, no stakeholder type that should not be focused on this area, because we clearly see disparities endemic in American healthcare. And, you know, if you didn't believe it before, we now have the experience of COVID-19, where disparities have clearly been demonstrated yet again for not just healthcare experts, but everyday Americans. So a basic thrust of the care we need is that this needs to be a priority. It needs to be part of the culture of healthcare that we address disparities and social determinants. And there really shouldn't be debate about that. I mean, if you can imagine every major healthcare organization even doing this culturally for their own people, for their own employees, for the communities that they live and work in, that in and of itself could be tremendous impact. And because it was such a major theme in the report, we really saw every sort of lever of healthcare needing to be pulled in order to address disparities. So that meant more data integration. It meant, you know, data following patients so that there wouldn't be coordination issues from one provider to another or from one type of provider to another. That meant leveraging payment models, including, you know, APMs and other approaches to address disparities. It really meant also changing the quality measurement enterprise to make sure disparities are just a constant lens through which quality measurement is viewed and understood. And so even when we make data transparent to the public, we do it with an eye towards disparities. So it's clear that while maybe averages are improving, there are perhaps some populations being left behind, and that is not okay or acceptable in healthcare. So it became a major thread in all of the different areas of the report.
Now, Shantanu, I'm going to ask you a tough big picture question, and that's fast forward a couple of years, and we have probably more than a couple, but we have the transparency of data that allows us to see these inequities by social determinants of health. What's the next step for the industry? Does this work begin at a population level, at an individual level? Are we targeting the most prevalent social determinant of health or multiple? What does sort of the next phase of this work look like?
Yeah, great question. So I see a few things. Number one, let's get agreement that this is a strategic priority. Everyone needs to be working on it. It's sort of an all hands on deck approach. Again, this should be about systematic improvement, and it needs to be about cultural change. And no organization should feel like they're on the outside of this discussion or that it's not important to their population. It absolutely is. Again, I'd love it for healthcare organizations to view their own employees, their families, as logical starting places to make sure that there is adequate access to care, that they're solving for social needs, that, you know, they're solving for things like living wages, et cetera. So that's sort of step number one. I think number two is we have to solve for some issues like data. And I hope whether it's in 2 years' time or five, but in the very near term, we have the data that we need in order to really understand social needs. There's a lot of data in healthcare, a lot of it not very interoperable, but also there's very few organizations that right now are systematically collecting social risk information. We need to have all that. We need to collect as much information as necessary so that we can identify at-risk populations and at-risk needs, and then make sure, again, that solutions are being crafted for local needs and not just being driven by some kind of national approach or vision. Third is, I think, let's start setting some goals. Let's agree what kind of improvement in disparities we want to see. We're probably not going to eliminate disparities in 5 years. I'd love to be able to do that. But I think we've got to start setting up some benchmarks and targets and markers to say, you know, in my community, this is the improvement that I see being able to make. You know, again, I think there's interventions that clearly demonstrate ROI. So I don't want that to be a reason for not engaging in the work. And let's start making concrete progress.
In a similar way that we have for some more traditionally clinical quality methods, readmissions, infection rates, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly. So, right, the model has been demonstrated to work, but you know, there are elements of the approach that will have to change, right? This is inherently bigger. It's about the social context of people's lives, not just the clinical context of where they get care. That means bringing new stakeholders into the mix. You know, we did, when we were thinking about what the next really 10 years look like for healthcare quality writ large, we put together some ideas for kind of what measures of success might be, including in the social determinant space, you know, making sure that, for example, we have collected data, that we're working with community benefit organizations and based organizations, that we have clear outcomes and, you know, indicators for what good looks like. And then ultimately, a preponderance of the healthcare community is on board collecting that data and intervening on social risk.
Great. So the last question that I have for you is speaking more to our individual listeners. So if we have a provider or an administrator from a health system, a federally qualified health center, and they are listening to this and they want to start pushing the needle in the right direction, what recommendations would you give to frontline workers who want to start seeing these changes in addressing social determinants of health?
Yeah, that's so important. So look, I know from being an emergency medicine physician myself, there is no way to be engaged in frontline care delivery and not see the impact of social risk on your patients. Whether it's their access to insurance, their access to adequate care, thinking about whether they're going to spend their money on their rent or on their medications and healthcare needs. It is just everywhere, everywhere in front of you. And I know how incredibly frustrating that can feel because, you know, frontline care delivery, all of us like really care about the patient and we see what they are kind of trying to deal with in their lives. So I think step number one is recognize that you have that kind of daily experience, try to transmit that to your leadership, to your boards, and get strategic alignment around it. I don't think we're going to continue making a whole lot of progress in healthcare quality unless we start going after and addressing these social issues. I think second is use NQF as a resource. We are trying in all of our work to elevate and surface best practice, evidence-based approaches, great measurement. We do it in a very consensus-driven way where we bring together a whole lot of other stakeholders. And so if we can be a resource, whether it's to the front line or to healthcare leadership, we're happy to do that. Again, I don't want what works to be a mystery across the system, across the country. So I think definitely, you know, rely on us and we'll try to be a good partner to you. And then third, I think just recognize, again, you know, I don't want there to be analysis paralysis when it comes to this area. There's a ton of data already. We know that certain things work. We know that they're financially sustainable. There needs to be a national push to align behind them and just get moving. I don't think patients and people in our communities can wait anymore for us to get the data first. I think it's intervention first, and let's continue to get more sophisticated and gather more data as we need it. But again, there's a lot that we already know.
Right. It sounds like transparency and collaboration are going to be really critical moving forward.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. You know, it's not necessarily just strike out on your own because you're a healthcare organization. It's absolutely take advantage of the collaboration possibilities.
Absolutely. Well, Shantanu, those were all of the questions that I had for you. I want to thank you for taking the time to join us today and having this really important conversation.
Thank you, Emily. I really enjoyed it. Thanks for doing this.
And for our listeners, share this post at HIT Analytics to let us know what social determinants of health indicators your organization would like to see to measure the success of your initiatives. Thanks for listening.
This has been an Extelligent Healthcare Media production.